I'm back, and I'm really happy to be recording Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby. Welcome. It's been a long, long week, an amazing week. Got to see my kids, first time in a long time. But went to Joe Carter Tournament. I have been dying to get to the Legends Tournament. Former Blue Jay, former Star. We all remember the hit from a long time ago. Unfortunately, I arrive at the Ritz-Carlton on Monday, and I don't leave my bed for 58 straight hours. I thought it was COVID, but part of me was like, this is way worse than when I had COVID. I mean, not even close. Sweating profusely, laying with a towel, damping myself down, going into cold shakes. I had more baths in the 2 days that I was there than I've had in my lifetime. Never made the tournament. Didn't get to play the Skins game with a lot of legends that were there. Glen Abbey, 2 days in a row. Got to miss it. Hopefully I get the invite last year, or next year, I should say. First time I was ever invited. I think this is their 13th year doing it. Thank you for the invite. Unfortunately, I am very sorry that I couldn't participate. Looked like an awesome tournament. Ritz-Carlton, you guys were amazing. Amazing, amazing. Since I didn't leave my room, it was room service, room service, and room service. Happy Canada Day, July 1st, or as we call it, Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. From 2011 to 2035, every July 1st, Bobby receives $1.9 million? How about that? You retire over 20 years ago, you'll be like 30 years ago, and he still gets paid. That is called robbing the bank. Good for you, Bobby Bonilla. New York Mets, that was a tough one. I should be calling this podcast Flying with Idiots. Why is always the dumbest guy on the plane the loudest? I heard a guy talk for 2 hours on the flight because we were about an hour on the runway. Thank you, Air Canada. I know my flight was canceled and postponed for 2 days, but they found me a flight to get on, and everyone was absolutely awesome at Air Canada. Something we haven't said a lot lately, but why is always the loudest guy the dumbest guy? And it rang true. This guy talked so loud for two straight hours about the most random shit, and I don't get it. Just like I don't get when people stand up on a plane and rush to the front and rush by you to meet at the luggage line. I get it, and this should be a disclaimer for all airlines out there. Anyone listening in the airline business, put this as your disclaimer. If you have to get off the plane early to get to a connection, rush to the front of the plane. Show your ticket, show that you have a connection. That should be the way it starts every time. If not, stay in your fucking lane. You're going nowhere. You're going nowhere. Everyone that passed me in line, I'm like, hey, see you at the luggage line. Get my luggage. It's a Nike bag. Got a camel bag. Grab it. Don't be idiots. Don't be idiots. You're going nowhere. Unless you have to shit your pants, then maybe I understand. But let people just get out of their aisle and follow in line. We're all going to meet at the luggage line. They're going to lose our luggage anyway, so we're probably going to have to be filing in line for a claim ticket. But ridiculous. Ridiculous. There's my little rant. Thank you again, Joe Carter Tournament. Idiots on the plane, smarten up. Be better. Rundown today. Avs, Bolts. Hall of Fame. JR snubbed again. Memorial Cup. Is this a true win? Is this a true win for my Quebec League? New York Nets. Absolute. Did I say New York? I mean the Brooklyn Nets. They should be the New York Nets or whatever they fucking are, because they are a disaster. The dream team, the supposed Golden State Warriors. Well, didn't end quite so well. And Barney's bets, I got three of them for you today. On Bobby Bonilla Day. Let's start with Avs, Bolts. absolutely what we all thought. Sports books, I don't think a lot of people took Colorado because odds weren't great. They were the best team all year. Most spread out team. Best defenseman in the world in Cale Makar. Nathan MacKinnon and Ranton and the addition. Oh, yeah, Toronto, you can't win with Nazem Kadri. Well, he's shoving it up everyone's ass right now, isn't he? Love his T-shirt. And the funny thing is, he wears the eight men, seven men on the ice, I think it was, or too many men on the ice celebrating with a little circle. You never see people say these things, very rarely. Draymond Green, but he already has championships. Once you win a championship, fuck, you can say anything you want. Nazem Kadri, well done. You showed Toronto, and you did a lot of maturing. You were unbelievable for that team. Unbelievable. Well deserved for you. The Avalanche were the better team. There's no way that they were not winning this. I think Tampa Bay, this is the closest you can come to a dynasty without having won three in a row. I think three in a row in a cap era would have put you up with the Edmonton Oilers of the 80s, the New York Islanders of the 80s. I think you look at those teams and those are the two dynasty teams. Everyone will talk about the Montreal Canadiens and guys that have won 10 Stanley Cups and 8 Stanley Cups and 7 and there are 4. Listen, there were 6 teams. You have a better chance, less of a chance of getting laid going to a bar than Montreal had a chance at winning the Stanley Cup back then. They had a 16% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. There were 6 teams. 6 teams. You had a 16% chance of winning the Stanley Cup back then. Now, it's like 3.3%. There's 32 teams. It's hard to win now. It's 5 times harder to win the Stanley Cup now as it was back then. So you win 3 Stanley Cups now, man, it's like winning 15 Stanley Cups back then. That's how much more difficult. So the Canadiens teams back then were absolutely incredible. And I guess I am trying to take something away, but I'm not taking that away from them. They won the Cups and that was what they played within. But winning, you know, 5 Stanley Cups like the Oilers did and guys did and Mark Messier, look what he's done. That's up there with the 10 and 11 Stanley Cups. And it's a bigger accomplishment, in my opinion, than the Montreal Canadiens. It's not even close. Way harder to win. Kudos to Tampa, not only for getting there a third straight time, Maroon getting there a fourth straight time. Impressive. Have all the respect. But more impressively, why it's so hard to win and to go back 3 years in a row. Look at the injury reports. Look at the injury reports. That's what blows me away. I mean, Nicky Paul, MCL, shoulder. Corey Perry, shoulder. Kucherov, MCL. Braden Point, who tried to come back and play with a torn quad. A torn quad. If a basketball player had a pinky injury, he's done. He's in Bermuda. He's at the Atlantis. He's in Greece on a yacht. Not these guys. Man, do they lay it on the line. And there's more guys that they had. I mean, the you always wait for it because you're always in amazement. But it's who can stay the healthiest. And it's very hard to do because it's a different game. It's the only sport where the game dramatically changes from the regular season to the postseason. Baseball doesn't change. Basketball gets, I think, a little bit more intense. it does get more intense. I will agree with that. Football's always intense. They now play only, they play 17 games. And they play one day a week. I know they put their bodies through hell. But it doesn't dramatically change. Hockey, it's two fucking completely different sports. Regular season, Stanley Cup, playoffs. And then you get to the finals. Completely different. All the respect. Everyone always asks me, do I miss playing in the NHL? The answer is only when the playoffs start. I don't miss the regular season, but I do miss the playoffs. Nothing like it. Seeing the fans, watching the parades, seeing the whiteouts, seeing the towels. Every game matters. Guys mail in some games during the regular season. Guys are literally willing to break their face with 100-mile-an-hour pucks coming their way to stop a goal from going in the net. No other sport is willing to do that. And I'll get back to that in a second. Hall of Fame. We have our inductions. And I'm never going to criticize anyone. You're never going to hear it from me. And I'm not ready to let it go. But I'm never going to criticize guys that get into the Hall of Fame. If you're even up for the debate and you get in, awesome on you. Awesome on you. This year, Daniel Sedin gets in. Henrik Sedin gets in. You know they were always going to get in. Daniel Alfredsson gets in. Glad for him. Great player. I think a sixth round pick. I played in his first game. At the old Lansdowne. Now it's the new TD Place. But I played in his first game. Alfie had an unbelievable career. Unbelievable guy. Might be a better golfer than a hockey player. And hopefully he brings new ownership as we go forward and brings a rink downtown. But as for Hall of Fame inductions, I'm glad for these guys getting in. What I'm appalled at is there's no way any of these three guys should be in before Jeremy Roenick and Alexander Mogilny. Not a fucking chance. Not a chance. I played against these guys. I played with Alexander Mogilny. Alexander Mogilny scored 76 goals one year. Pat LaFontaine had 148 points that year. Unbelievable. 76 goals in a year. Let me read you a stat line. 990 games, 473 goals, 559 assists for 1,032 points. 1,032 points in 990 games, 473 goals. Okay? Henrik Sedin, 1,330 games, so almost 350 more games, more. 233 less goals. And he had 40 more points. Does that make sense? Tell me where that makes sense. Now, I know it's not the NHL Hall of Fame, and we have your... Listen, I get it's not an NHL, but... Look at those stats. Does that make sense to you? Jeremy Roenick, let's take Henrik Sedin again. Jeremy Roenick, 1,363 games, 513 goals. That used to be a threshold, 500 goals. 513 goals, 1,216 points. Does that make sense? I'm just asking. So Daniel Sedin gets in with 1,041 points. Not way less than a point a game in 1,306 games. Henrik gets in with 1,070 points with 240 goals, 1,330 games. Alfie gets in, his stats are better, 1,157, 444 goals in 1,246. But Roenick has almost a point per game with 513 goals. And Alexander McGillney has the best stats of them all. If you take points per game, he's over a point per game and for almost 500 goals. He didn't play as long as those guys. It just makes no sense. Those guys, Sedin, the twins, you knew they were going in together, and Alfie, should have been in the Hall of Fame one day. Not before these two. And we can add Tkachuk, we can add Recchi, we can talk about them. Absolutely. But right now, it's a fucking travesty. There's no reason. And I want to know why. Because I have no clue why. I don't think Alexander McGillney really cares. But I know Jeremy Roenick. And I love Jeremy Roenick. I fucking didn't like playing against him because he was damn good. And he played damn hard. But man, does he wear his heart on his sleeve. And maybe he's outspoken. I don't know why. There's no reason Jeremy Roenick should not be in the Hall of Fame right now ahead of those three guys. Plain and simple. Memorial Cup, St. John. Congratulations. You won the tournament. Well deserved. They were the best team. Dusty, your team won. I had Hamilton, my boy Jay McKee. Hell of a run. I told everyone before the start of the season, Kitchener, you're so stupid. So stupid for letting this guy go. Hamilton, did I tell you you're getting a good one? Did I tell you you're going to have a run? You're the best coach in the league. Best person in the league. This guy will be a pro coach one day. And I know he's getting some offers now. I know it. Shouldn't have let him go. Sometimes, I say this all the time. Sometimes you're not supposed to be somewhere, whether you're a player or management doesn't like you or a coach doesn't like you. It doesn't mean you're not a good coach. Doesn't mean you're not a great player. It just means that person doesn't want you there or doesn't appreciate you. So you know what you do? You go to somewhere else and you stick it up their ass. That's what Jay McKee just did. Hamilton, great job. Mason McTavish Jr. Well, I guess you're Dale Mack Jr., I should say. Dale McTavish, hell of a hockey player, hell of a guy, owner of the Pembroke Lumber Kings, coached my son, great pro, great friend, his son Mason. Awesome tournament, ready to turn pro, ready to turn some heads for the Anaheim Ducks, number 3 overall pick. And how about that whole team, Nathan Staios? Can that kid run a power play? Son of Steve Staios, who's obviously the GM of the Hamilton Bulldogs. Very proud of this team, but going back, respect to St. John. But why do we say the Stanley Cup is so hard to win? Why is it so hard to win? Because you have to stay healthy. You have to stay fresh. It's hard to go from series to series to series and keep winning while staying healthy. So we have a team like Shawinigan that goes all the way and wins the Quebec League. Edmonton wins the Western League. Hamilton wins the Ontario League. These guys grind and grind and grind, and it's peaks and it's valleys and it's ups, it's downs. It's injuries. It's not knowing who's going to be in the lineup because you don't know who's healthy. They're just trying to survive. And by the time they get to it, I'm going to take Hamilton because I know them closest in their schedule. The turnaround from playing game 7 against Windsor to going and flying to St. John and going on. I mean, you celebrate your win and now you're flying off to St. John right away to face a team, and now you got to get emotionally charged again. St. John's been licking their chops. They're at home. I understand the dynamic of having the home team and the sellouts and having to prepare. I get that. and they deserve a ring. They deserve the ring. They were the best team in the tournament. I'm not taking that away from them. But I'm saying there should always be an asterisk beside a team's name. That's the host team. If they don't win their league championship. Don't you think? Doesn't that make sense? It's the only real sport I can think of where everyone else has to really qualify. And then you have a home team come in rested because they get knocked out early in the playoffs. And everyone's healthy. All these other teams, I guarantee they're all dealing with injuries. You go to a 7-game series and you have to win 4 rounds to get there. Everyone's banged up. Everyone. Not St. John. They're sitting there healthy as can be, sleeping in their own beds, just waiting for these tired, sore, just injured, mangled, probably some of them, teams to arrive. I just think they deserve a ring. I just don't think if you are a host team and you don't win the championship to get in, you shouldn't get diamonds in it. Give them a ring, no diamonds, and an asterisk. I think that's the way it should be. Hey, it's what I think, and you're not going to change my mind. I never won one, but I'd probably rather win an OHL championship, a Western championship, or a Q championship than win a Memorial Cup. I think it's harder. It's way, way harder. Even though the 3 best teams are there, just harder. Now, if you win your championship and you win the Memorial Cup, give them the diamonds, baby. Give them the diamonds. Nets. What a disaster. Remember when the Nets put this super team together and KD chose and Kyrie and Harden's jumping on board? We have Golden State Warriors 2.0. Well, I had the original. I think I played on the original. Because when Gretz and Curry and Messier and those guys, it wasn't built as a super team. They were drafted together and they came up and it was a different era. I probably played on the first super team, the New York Rangers, 01. I think our payroll was $91 million. It reminds me of the Brooklyn Nets. Because they have KD and Kyrie and Harden, the 3 superstars. And that's what you need in the NBA. If you get the big 3, you got a chance at winning, right? You got the big 3. You got a chance of winning. Everyone tries to build it around that same philosophy. Get that 3rd guy. We can go back to Dwayne Wade and Bosch, obviously. You look at that team. You look at Golden State. You look at the Lakers trying to build it. So many guys are trying to build that big 3 and trying to acquire that 3rd guy. That's the biggest. We did it in New York. We didn't make the playoffs in 3 years. We had Mess. We had Burry. We had Lindros. We had Brian Leetch. We had Bobby Holik. They're paying him $9.5 million as a 3rd line center. 3rd line center. We had Peter Nedved. We had Vladimir Malikov. We had so many great players. But sometimes when you build a super team, there are super egos that get in the way. And we had great guys in New York. Listen, Yager's great. Lindros is great. Mess is great. Nedved's great. Theo Fleury was in a different spot at the time. Great player, but he was in a different part of life. Brian Leetch, unbelievable guy. But when guys are used to being the guy that everyone talks about or gets all the ice time in that per se, doesn't always work out well. Because sometimes there's not enough ice to go around. Maybe there wasn't enough ball for these guys to go around. Now, Kyrie only played in about half the games. Harden's now jumping ship. It didn't work. And egos got involved. Absolutely. And in basketball, it's almost like, what's the name of the soap opera? My grandma and I used to watch The Golden Light. Was it The Golden Light? As the World Turns. One of those fucking ones. They're all awful. As the World Turns. Soap opera every day in the NBA. Every day. It's entertaining. It's like the Kardashians. These guys, it's must-see TV. You watch it on Twitter and the way it unfolds. Hockey players are like, yes, I'm so happy to be here. NBA is like, fuck that guy. I'm going to bang his wife. That's how they approach it. Much more entertaining. But you also have disasters like the Nets because of it. New York Rangers, we got along. But it was a disaster. And we were a super team. $91 million payroll in 2001 through 2004. No playoffs. The Nets get the top three or the big three. Move them right up to the gambling. Move them right up the odds boards, man. They are going to win. They're going to be contenders. They sucked. They sucked. Now what does KD do? Bye-bye. I want to go to the Suns. Suns or Miami. We're going to create another big three. And KD is, let's face it, KD is looking out for KD. He's got the money. He already has championships. Now he wants to build on his legacy. Now his legacy will be a little different than Steph Curry's if he goes and win a championship with Miami or if he wins it with Phoenix, because he's jumping around trying to find that championship. Steph Curry's right now the GOAT because Steph Curry just stays in place. Great guy, no drama, and he wins. People want to play with him. And this year is probably the most impressive. He did it with, I don't want to say a rebuild, because you still have Clay, you still have Draymond, but you get a guy like Poole to come in, and youngsters fill in, and Andrew Wiggins given a new birth on life. He did it with a new bunch of guys. He didn't jump to the Lakers to play with LeBron to win. He didn't jump to Phoenix to play with Booker to win. He just stayed put. Stayed put. People are going to come play with me if they want to make our team better. And he goes, you know what? We got a good bunch of young guys. We're going to win with young guys. They win again. That's a true GOAT. Not one that jumps around. Not taking anything from KD, except for his inverted chest and no biceps. Looks like a homeless man on a basketball court. But the man can fucking ball. Let's be honest. The man can fucking ball. But he's not a GOAT. A GOAT is Steph Curry. I think LeBron's a great, great player. But I do have to appreciate what Steph does in Golden State. And then the Nets, you're a disaster. You're going to get a great return. Don't fuck it up. Get all you can for KD. You tried to do it. Didn't work. Do it the right way. Draft well. Sign key free agents that just aren't divas. Because you got a couple divas there in Harden and Kyrie. And KD is just a floater. Great player, but a floater. Didn't work out. Sorry for you. Follow the model in Golden State. Barney's Bets. No more hockey. No more basketball. We are now focusing. And I always try to focus. I see guys go from hockey and pick a basketball. And I'm okay. But when you start picking soccer and basketball and tennis and all this, you got to focus in on a couple sports. Focus in on a couple sports and really look at those numbers. When you're good at something, stick to it. Here's what I got today. It's all in the same division. Red Sox, -145 over the Cubs. Jays just won 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox in the first game against Tampa Bay. -140 over the Rays, under 9 at home. Berrios, is pitching for the Jays. New York Yankees -1.5 over the Guardians. Best team in baseball. Absolute lock. Man, have they been good. All these odds are bet99.com. If you are using it, use the promo code Barnaby36. We'll match up to $600. I'm back, baby. Wasn't COVID. Just a bad flu bug. And I don't have to be flying with idiots for a while. Remember, hit that little button. Hit the like and subscribe to my podcast, Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby. Have an awesome, awesome Bobby Bonilla Day for all you Canadians. And happy 4th. I will have another podcast up for my fellow Americans. Love you guys. Love my Canadians. Hate the idiots on the planes that rush to the front. Stay the fuck back. And remember, not this one, although he has, and I'll never bet on him again. My favorite team is the New York Jets. But truly, my favorite team is the one that covers. Cheers. Have an awesome day. Love you. Talk to you soon.